Do you ever look at your bank statement and think, what the heck happened here? Like, did I accidentally buy a timeshare or fund a minor league baseball team? Yeah, me too. Until I got Monarch. Now I can see that last month I dropped $110.73 on entertainment, which sounds fancy, but really it was like two books and one trip to the movies, where I paid $27 for a medium popcorn and two drinks. Pretty sure the theater just fills the bucket with actual gold kernels at that price. Not terrible, I guess, but it definitely has me rethinking my life choices. Next time I'm smuggling in my own snacks like a common criminal. That $27 could be a hardcover, dagnabbit. Anyway, Monarch makes it so easy to track your spending, which is good, because I'm not filling out a spreadsheet every time I click on my Kindle at 1 a.m., and now that I get weekly recaps from Monarch, I can be more intentional about where my money goes. Are you ready to stop wasting money too? Set yourself up for financial success in 2026 with Monarch, the all-in-one tool that makes proactive money management simple all year long. Use code HAPPENS at monarch.com for half off your first year. That's 50% off your first year at monarch.com with code HAPPENS.
As a chef, I know flavor doesn't begin in the kitchen. It begins on the land. And Westholme's nature-led Australian Wagyu is a story written in the landscape of Northern Australia. Cooking is storytelling, and Westholme Wagyu carries a story of Northern Australia itself. Raw, powerful, and deeply authentic. It's a testament to the passion and care raised in the rhythm of Northern Australia. I'm Chef Maylin from 88 Club in Los Angeles, and I invite you to visit westholme.com/Maylin to learn more. And taste a story only Westholme nature-led Australian Wagyu can tell. That's westholme.com/Maylin.
Hey everyone, welcome to another snack size edition of our show, How Success Happens. I'm Dan Bova over here at entrepreneur.com. This week, we are solving the mystery every aspiring writer wants to solve. How do I sell my book? So I'm a bit of a thriller junkie, and so I was super excited to delve into this topic with Kimberly Howe, who's an award-winning author and executive director of International Thriller Writers, to see if we could indeed crack the case. Now, I'm not the only one who likes a good page-turner. Mystery and thriller books sell more than $21 billion a year worldwide, and industry projections expect the category to top $33 billion by 2033. So it seems like a really good time to turn a love of blood and guts and betrayal into something more than just a passing hobby. As I said, Kimberly runs International Thriller Writers, which is a not-for-profit organization with more than 6,600 members who have collectively sold 3.6 billion books. And she started as a fan at their first event, and now she runs the whole thing, which I'd say is quite diabolical, but actually she's an extremely nice and passionate person who loves to help other writers. So she's just nice. She's not diabolical. Anyway, so every year, IFW hosts Thriller Fest, which is a week-long conference in New York that's designed for authors by authors to help one another achieve their goals. They have workshops, they have pitch fests, and this year, big-time authors like Harlan Coben are going to be walking around, sharing advice, and sharing a drink or two. So this year's Thriller Fest will be May 5th to May 9th, and I've got my ticket. So Harlan, if you're listening, hopefully you're in the drinking mood. And I'm really looking forward to it because, as Kim told me, this is a festival for people who aspire to write or people who are just fans. Okay, so let's get to it, my conversation with Kim. So I just explained what Thriller Fest is, but she's been doing this a lot longer than I have, so she's probably a little bit better at it. So my first question to Kim, give us the rundown of Thriller Fest and tell us what we can expect.
So we consider Thriller Fest summer camp for writers or aspiring authors. And we have 6,600 members across 52 countries And we have over 3.6 billion books in print in our organization. Many of those are written by R.L. Stine, Goosebumps, because he's one of our founding members and has written endless books. The community is overwhelming. Everyone that comes to Thriller Fest is treated like family. And it's hard to explain the collegiality unless you sort of have experienced it. For example, Lee Child will be in the hallways, like all these top authors, very warm-hearted, and they would ask you, what are you working on? We don't have a green room at all on purpose so that people mix and integrate. We also try to do, you know, kind of online learning throughout the year, networking, connections. It's magical what happens on site. We've had many people study in our retreat, which is masterclass, and they become very close to their instructor, and their instructors become a mentor for them.
Okay, so now let's get into the craft for all the aspiring thriller writers out there. So say I love murder mysteries, for example, but I've never murdered anyone. Not that you can prove anyway. But what's her take on that old advice to write what you know when it comes to things like books about serial killers or international espionage?
Sure, I know. This is the way I look at it. I always think of, instead of write what you know, I was going to say write what you're passionate about and want to learn about. Like, for example, I didn't know anything about kidnapping, but I decided to intensively study it. I read everything I could on it. I met some of the top kidnap negotiators in the world. You know, I have met with former hostages. So I think it's just full immersion. If you really want to get something right, it's going to take you a lot longer if you want to do the research. In Isabella's case, because she had that law enforcement in background, it was a wonderful framework for her to be able to start a story about like the FBI or, you know, the police. And she had that. So either way works. I just don't want to dissuade anyone listening that, you know, if you're really passionate about setting, you know, a story about a detective in LA, like Michael Connelly did, you know, that if you want to do the work, you can do it. But it definitely helps to have that, you know, kind of a foundation of knowledge to be able to draw upon.
Right.
Yeah, most people like are telling a story, I think, as a form of catharsis. There's something in their mind. My mentor, David Morrell, he is the creator of Rambo. And, you know, he wrote First Blood. And that's the, you know, the book that Rambo is based on. And he was a professor of English. And he always said, you know, there's something in your background, in your life, that is driving you to write. And he always has this father-son kind of theme in his novels. And if you look through and you see it, and I think all of us come to writing as a way of working through our issues and or, you know, kind of confusions in life and coming up with ways to deal with it. And so I feel very strongly that he's correct, that we all come to writing with for a good reason.
So Kim's been writing and working with writers for quite a while. So I asked her, what question comes up a lot? What's the kind of advice that she gives to writers, you know, year after year?
I think you have to be an avid reader to really want to write. I've had a few people come up who aren't big readers saying, I would like to write a book. And I don't know if that's really possible because by osmosis, we learn story by reading. So every time you devour another novel, you're learning about story arc, character, and, you know, dialogue and timing. So I definitely feel like you have to have a burning passion because it's a very tough situation, you know, like I said, in this competitive environment. So if you don't have a burning passion, maybe, you know, try something else that you do have a burning passion for. But I always think it's 10% talent and 90% perspiration. I think you need to, if you can, obviously, write every day, even if it's for 15 minutes. Many authors, including Stephen King and you know, other Michael Connelly, were all doing other jobs before they started writing novels. And just sneaking that half an hour in early in the morning, maybe at 4:35 a.m., and just making sure you get your sort of page count or word count in for the day is incredibly helpful. If you keep it front of mind, it's like your subconscious works on the story and the writing while you're not working on it. And one of the best times to write truly is first thing in the morning before you pick up your phone or look at anything in the news. And just focus immediately on the story itself. Also, walking or swimming or cycling, any rhythmic activity allows the brain to free flow. And so quite often authors say when they struggle with a plot point or they've written themselves into this terrible corner, they basically do something like either take a shower or you go for a walk, and all of a sudden the problem is resolved.
Okay, so let's get real. Self-publishing is a fully respectable option these days, but if you want to get published by a traditional publisher, the first step is getting an agent, which is not an easy thing to do if anyone listening to this has tried. So Thriller Fest features Pitch Fest. So I asked her about her best advice for getting the attention of an overwhelmed agent who's hearing a billion ideas a day.
Sure. It's a really good question. So we have this event called Pitch Fest, and I affectionately call it the zoo because you have 250 really nervous aspiring authors and authors pitching to agents. And I think what's really key here is to realize that these agents need young talent, new talent, to be able to keep going on in their careers. So they're actually very warm, engaged, and looking for what you have to say. I would say be as concise as possible. Really do your homework ahead of time so that you can boil down your story into a log line of like 30 words. I think that's the key thing. And it should be a conversation more than like a long monologue. It's basically, you know, my book is Jurassic Park meets Jaws. And, you know, my main character is this. I also feel that if there's anything you can bring to the platform that makes you stand out. For example, let's say you're an influencer with a million followers. That is worth mentioning. What if you're Isabella and you've had a career in law enforcement? That's worth mentioning. You know, what if you're, you did special forces and you're, you know, an absolute guru in Navy SEALs like Jack Carr, who's taken off and he's a fantastic person, great writer. So that's the kind of thing I think you need to approach. You have to tell the person listening why you're the ideal person to pitch that story to them, if that makes sense. So like you got, you know, are there like hundreds and hundreds of pitches that sound similar? Yeah. And that's what you need to avoid.
And finally, we know that the thriller category is huge, but it is expansive with a ton of subgenres. So I asked Kim if she saw any trends for what writers are writing, and importantly, what readers are buying.
You bet. It's fascinating. If you think back to Gone Girl, which was quite a while ago now, that was a really like pivotal book. And, you know, it's basically the unreliable narrator and very much domestic fiction, if you may, and psychological. So, you know, obviously people like John Grisham, who was one of our guests last year, are still going strong with their, you know, variety of the legal thrillers. But we're seeing a strong trend towards domestic and psychological thrillers. So it's less, you know, kind of action adventure-y and more internal. And it's fascinating to me because obviously there's something for everyone. I would say that if your passion is in a certain area for thrillers, don't stop that. Keep going and write what you love. But there definitely is a strong pull towards that domestic suspense. And about 65% of thriller readers are women. And that all obviously skews it too. A good example is May Cobb, who wrote The Hunting Wives, and that was translated into a miniseries recently. You know, books like that, that just appeal to women are also very, very successful. Like spy thrillers, there are some out there, but since Harape sadly passed, we see some nice up-and-comers like Charles Cummings and others, but at the same time, it's just not as in demand as I would say a kind of domestic setting. And maybe that's because our world is overwhelming at this point, and we want to escape into something that feels a little safe and more neighborhoody.
Okay, so there it is. Mystery solved. If you want to dive deeper into the world of thrillers, Thriller Fest is May 5th to the 9th in New York City. I'm going to be there, so if you see me, say hi. And although it would make for a pretty good plot twist, please don't like poison my drink when I'm not looking. Like, murder's fun to read, but not to experience. All right. Well, thanks for listening, subscribing, and commenting, and emailing. Send your thoughts directly to me at howsuccesshappens@entrepreneur.com. I promise I read every word that comes in. And check out my Substack, This Should Be Fun, to get some more lunacy from me. And hear some more kick-ass music from our theme song makers, Nika RPM, over on Bandcamp. All right, we'll see you next time. No murder.